Making change is about awakening that generous impulse in your heart. We are all created in God's image. God is a generous God, and he has made us to be generous and to thrive in that. This past January, Stephen Searles and Jessica Searles from our church planted a new church in Federal Way, Washington, just south of Seattle. And we'll soon be sending out Joseph and Emily Castillo from our church to help lay the groundwork in January for a new church in Northwest Houston in the community of Bridgeland. Making Change is a message series about how to support those church plants and this church in spreading the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. Making Change is also discovering what Jesus has to say about how we handle our money and our wealth. Making Change is about, as I said, awakening that spirit of generosity within us. Here's what I've learned both from God's word and my experience and applying God's word in my life, okay? You can pay your bills, you can accomplish your goals, and be generous all at the same time, in spite of what your financial condition is or whatever the state of the economy is. The way it starts is by recognizing that God owns it all. It'll be hard to live life with open hands of generosity until you change what you think about ownership. And that change is that God owns everything. We are his asset managers. When God was creating the nation of Israel after he brought them out of slavery and was forming them into a people for his own possession, a people to reflect his glory and his love for the world, he told them early on, he said, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Everything we have comes from God. We have to have that mindset if we really want to develop that generous impulse in our lives. As I said, I spoke about that week before last. This series, Making Change, is actually one message in four parts spread over 4 weeks. If you weren't here either of the last couple weeks, I would encourage you to go online and watch it because it all ties together and it flows toward in a direction. Now, last week, I challenged you to count the cost of generosity. What will it cost? What is it that God wants you to be generous about? And then change priorities if necessary. Understanding ownership. Changing our financial priorities, they create a foundation for generous living. Today, I want to offer you some really practical ideas and principles found in the Bible. Do you want to be generous? Then what you're going to need to do is to plan your giving. Plan your giving. Slow down your spending long enough to plan. And that planning is budgeting. It can be very simple or it can be a little bit more involved. And as we said, we're offering this thing called Discovering Financial Peace, or Financial Peace University. It begins this Thursday night. You'll hear more about that later. That'll teach you how to budget. So plan your giving. Slow down long enough to plan. The Proverbs tell us that the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. So how do we plan? Well, I came across this great description of generous living a few years ago in a devotion I was reading. And it said that there are it's a three-level pathway to generosity. It's easy to remember because each level starts with the letter S. Level one is spontaneous generosity. Spontaneous generosity. Another way of looking at this is you see a need, you meet a need. Now, this isn't a giving plan yet, okay? We're not there yet, but it will awaken that generous impulse in you. As you see a need and just say, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna meet this need. Maybe a child down the street, you learn she wants to play softball and you've got your old softball glove that you don't use anymore. Maybe you give it to her, you know, or if it's just too sentimental, go buy her a new one. See a need, meet a need. You know, if someone who's been laid off, and I've seen this happen so many times in our church, you know, if someone who's been laid off, you go and go by the grocery store on your way home from work and then drop groceries off at their house on the way out. Just see a need, meet a need. When you ask God for a generous heart, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, when you say, God, I really want to have a generous heart, you'll be surprised and amazed at how he'll show you not only needs, but he'll show you a way to meet those needs. Spontaneous giving is kind of where that generosity starts, but the kingdom of God is not built on spontaneous giving, just giving on impulse, which isn't a bad thing, but the kingdom of God's not built on that. The goal is to transform spontaneous giving into a different kind, another level, a level of strategic giving. The second level of generosity is strategic generosity. This is how the early church was taught to give. The Apostle Paul, one of the early church leaders and the most well-known church planter in the early church, in a letter that he wrote to one of the churches he planted in Corinth, Greece, he said this. He said, on the first day of every week, every one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. So if you make a lot, set aside more. If you make a little, you don't have to set aside so much. saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. That was a plan that he gave the early churches for how to give to missions. And this is how Kathy and I, my wife, this is how we learned to give strategically. We set aside a sum out of every paycheck every week, and we give a portion, or actually a percentage of that every week of our regular income every month. I'll come back to that in a moment, describe that in a little bit more detail. Our church chose to do the same thing. When we started our church years ago, we decided early on that we wanted to give strategically. So we made a plan to give at least 10% of all the money that comes in of all of our regular offerings to missions. And missions is not just anything. Missions is giving to partners who share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that people need to know Jesus and have a relationship with him. And so 10% of everything that comes in also goes back out to our missions partners. So of that 10%, let me tell you where it all goes so that you know. Sometimes we've been told we don't tell you what all you're doing, what happens with the gifts that you give. About a third of that 10% goes to a fund called the Cooperative Program, which is managed by the denomination that we associate with. And the Cooperative Program includes the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board. And those two groups also receive gifts from our World Missions Offering, so we give to them in two different ways each year. Now, the majority, the other two-thirds, the majority of our church's strategic giving goes to missions, and it flows through our global local missions budget, our global local budget. Global local ministries, but the budget supports local ministries like the Pregnancy Help Center, Texas Port Ministry, and True to Life Ministries. It also funds international partnerships like the Glenn Sports Platform in Southeast Asia, the Mercy Medical Center in Cambodia, and mission trips to Bolivia, Bulgaria, Kenya, and Cambodia all this year. The Global Local Fund helps support those. The Global Local Budget, it also supports church planting in a big way through the Houston Church Planting Network. We're a strategic member of that group. It's a multi-denominational group of churches. What we care about is just getting the kingdom news out to people in the growing area of Houston. Houston is growing by 250 people every day, and it will. It's projected to do that probably for the next 30 years. It's going to come all the way down here, and we need to start churches. So we help the Houston Church Planting Network. We give through the SEND Network, which is part of the North American Mission Board. And we also plan to use the global local budget to support this Future Story Church in Bridgeland that Joseph and Emily and maybe some folks from our church will go out and help start. Now, here's the beauty of planning our giving strategically, giving as a percentage. As your giving increases and as our budget increases, our giving to missions increases. It's automatic. It grows. It's grown a lot over the years from when we first started as a church. But just as importantly, this is super important, and maybe even more so, when we have to lower our budget or our offerings decrease year over year, we still have a strong plan for giving. We may give a little bit less, but we still are generous with what we give. We don't stop giving. That's what strategic giving does for a church, and it works for individuals as well. Our offering receipts right now, this year, they're currently $126,000 less today than they were this time last year. And that's probably most likely due to the uncertainty in the economy. Now, if that doesn't change, it could turn around. But if it doesn't, we will give away a little less this year than we did last year. But we will still give generously. You see, if you give strategically like this, you'll still have a plan to give. Even in the event that your income decreases, you can still be generous with your giving when you just strategically take out a portion of that out of every paycheck. Eventually, this is what I've come to learn and what everyone I know who gives strategically has come to learn. Eventually, you learn to live without that automatic generosity that goes to your church or to a missionary or to maybe a local ministry like True to Life Ministry. But then, here's something that happens as your generous heart grows, is that impulse towards generosity strengthens. Eventually, what will happen is you'll spot an opportunity that your heart longs to be a part of, some ministry that you want to help support. And that leads to the third level of generous giving. It's called sacrificial generosity. Sacrificial generosity. An opportunity, like supporting Joseph and Emily's Story Church in Bridgeland, or sponsoring a missionary or a student who's finished college and is working in some type of ministry for a while and needs support. Or maybe your desire to go on an overseas mission trip, that's not going to be inexpensive. It'll cost something. It sparks something within you. It may grab your attention. It causes you to look for things that you could do without so that you can give sacrificially. without taking away from your strategic giving. You think about maybe giving up that latte before work every morning or giving up pizza night with friends. Maybe it's something you've wanted a long time, like a pricey outfit or a new VR gaming system. It could be new bedroom furniture you felt like you needed to get, or a car, or that big vacation. It could be a boat or a sweet set of rims or a lift kit for your truck. There's nothing wrong with any of those. There's nothing wrong with any of those purchases, except you just can't seem to ignore that urge in your heart to go big on something that has eternal, not temporal, significance. You just can't ignore that urge anymore. And here's the crazy thing about that. When you start moving from strategic giving to sacrificial giving, is you're not feeling pressure from the outside, from the people. It's not like those sappy commercials sometimes. It's just like, you just want to change the channel. No, it's coming from within your heart, because as you've given spontaneously and then strategically, that impulse in your heart to give just grows and grows. Your desire is coming from your own heart, because what's happened is you've changed. You've changed as you become more generous. Your heart has grown and matured. Sacrificial givers, and that describes a lot of you here in this church. Sacrificial givers, they don't just believe the kingdom of God matters more than the things of this world. They live like it matters. They begin to see money and possessions is not something just to do more and more with for myself or my family, but they become tools to help build the kingdom of God here on earth, to honor God and to help propel the gospel to places that haven't received it yet. You know, when Joseph came to us, our executive team and then our leadership team, and said he believed God was calling he and Emily to plant a church, the Story Church in Bridgeland next year, we discussed it and we agreed to support them, even though our giving is down this year, even though right now it's like we may have less money next year than we do this year. But we agreed to support them, even though there's a possible recession looming on the horizon. We just decided, well, we can look for priorities to change if it doesn't pick up. We've done that before. We just adjust our spending to match what we believe God most wants us to do. Now, we also know that God has always provided all that we've ever needed to do all those things that he leads us to do. Maybe not all that we want to do, but all that he is leading us to do. Some of you won't remember this because you weren't here, but 12 years ago, Aaron Sanders, who was then our student minister, he told us that he believed that now was the time for he and Holly to leave here and move to Galveston and plant a church there that became known as Coastal Community Church. Just like with Joseph and Emily, we knew from the start that Joseph and Emily were going to leave here someday to plant a church. We knew that Aaron and Holly were going to plant too. And so when the timing was just perfect, the same time we were planning to raise funds to build this building, Aaron came and said, "It's time now, I'm ready to go." And we're like, "Aaron, that sounds kind of like bad timing, you know?" And I mean, because to build a building like this, you have to go all in. But we prayed about it, and we believed that God was really moving in Aaron Holly's hearts and some of the others that moved to go with them, just as we believe now that God is moving in Joseph and Emily's hearts and some of the others that are planning to move and go with them. And so we said yes then, and we were able to build this building. We were able to start that church, and now Coastal Community Church is the strongest church in Galveston. They have led hundreds and hundreds of people to faith in Jesus Christ. They are a major player on the island in all kinds of ways. Where God guides us, he provides for that. So now our church has chosen to give sacrificially to support the Story Church in Bridgeland, because we believe God is calling us to do it. I want you to take your phones out. Everybody pull your cell phone out and open up your calculator app, okay? Real quick, pull your phones out. Some of you already have it. You haven't even been paying attention to what I've had. Just get off, pop off of social media for just a moment, do this little exercise, and then you can just go back to ignoring me, okay? All right, got your phone out, open up the calculator app. Now, here's the first thing to put in. Clear it, make sure it's clear, and follow these instructions closely, okay? Number one, write down the year you graduated, or if you haven't yet graduated, the year you're going to graduate. Write down the year you graduated, okay? Now double it. Okay? Add 5 to that number. Now multiply it by 50. See, I know how much time to go by whoever's beeping on their phone there, so that works. Now add your age. Beep. Subtract 50. Now look at your final figure, okay? The first four numbers are the year you graduated, and the last two numbers are your age. Cool, huh? Little math thing. If you say no, you didn't do it right, okay? Try it again. So I'll put it up there. Okay. Now, let me give you another formula that's even cooler, okay? Clear your phone again. Write down the amount of your last paycheck. If you remember exactly, just estimate, or the last you got paid for babysitting or a job you did. Some of our students are entrepreneurs. A couple of our students have created businesses before they even got out of high school. So whatever the last check you got, the last Venmo you received for work you did, you got that number in there? Now divide it by 10. See that number? That's what the Bible calls a tithe. That's 10% of your income. Now, the tithe was a part of what we call Old Testament law. The Bible is divided into an Old and New Testament. The Old Testament is everything about God establishing who he was through the nation of Israel and creating a nation to show God's love to the world. And then the New Testament is where Jesus came, because Israel never quite did it. And Jesus came and showed perfectly what the world is and achieved all of God's plans through his life, death, and resurrection. Now, in the Old Testament law, though, the folks living under Old Testament law, they were commanded to give a tithe, or 10% of their income. In Leviticus 27:30, this is at the front end of them becoming a nation, God told them, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. You see that work of tithe mentioned several times, a lot, throughout the Old Testament. A tithe of your flocks and all these different things. To tithe, what tithe means, a good definition is it, you return one-tenth of your income back to the Lord because you believe everything already belongs to him. Everything you have has come from him. Now, stay with me, okay, as I'm talking about that. Most of you, if you haven't been here a while, you don't know where I'm going, so stay with me, all right? Kathy and I, when I talked about we give strategically, we give a percentage, we tithe. We give 10%. That's the percentage that we choose for strategic giving. But just to be clear, listen close, just to be clear, we do not believe this is a legalistic command from the Bible. We're not doing it because we are obligated to do it. Tithing was a requirement for the people of Israel before Jesus came. Tithing supported the temple, and at that time it was a theocracy. It was led, the temple and religion were all, that and government were all led together. And it supported, the tithe supported the temple worship, it supported the Levites, the priests, and the poor, and some other things. But because Jesus fulfilled all the commands of the law and the prophets of the Old Testament, when he said, it is finished, because he completed all those for us with his life, his death, and his resurrection, Christ followers are not commanded to tithe. Listen close. Jesus already paid your tithe. You don't owe it. Never thought you'd hear me say that, did you? Because we don't give out of obligation. Now, the moral laws of the Old Testament are still in place, like don't kill, don't steal, honor your father and mother, all those things, don't lie. Those are still in play. In fact, Jesus upped them at the Sermon on the Mount, but that's a message for another day. Tithes to support the temple in Jerusalem, are no longer in play for the reasons I've already stated, and for another reason. The temple isn't there anymore. The Roman army destroyed it in AD 72. There aren't any priests or Levites there either to support. The New Testament. So what is the New Testament about tithing? It's mentioned often in the Old Testament. What does the New Testament say about tithing? Well, the New Testament records Jesus addressing the issue of tithing only once. And it's really interesting the way he addressed it. The temple was still standing then, by the way. What Jesus was doing when he addressed tithing is a side comment. He was condemning the religious leaders of his day for their heartless legalism. They were giving out of obligation, not out of their heart. Look at 11:42. Jesus said, woe to you Pharisees. They were the leading religious leaders. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs. They were tithing their herb gardens, tiny little gardens. But you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter, justice and love of God, without leaving the former, tithing, undone. That's interesting. Jesus said a lot about giving and generosity. We have a lot recorded in the New Testament of Jesus talking about giving and generosity. But this is all he said about tithing. I wonder why. This is all we have recorded that he said about tithing. Because tithing wasn't meant to be one of the main things that we do in our generosity. So why would Kathy and I tithe when we don't have to? Why does our church choose to tithe when there's nothing in the Bible that says a church should tithe? Why do we choose to do that? Here's why. What we can see from the Old Testament commands like tithing are principles that show us ways to love and know God and support the work of the church and its ministers and its ministries. That's why we tithe. It's a principle. It's a principle that we believe the principle is still in play, although it's not an obligation. We don't owe a tithe. We owe a debt of love. The reason we obey God's commands is not because we have to, it's because we want to. We want to honor God with our lives. We want to please the God who has given us eternal life and an abundant life here on earth, the God who's provided for all of our needs. We do things out of love, out of gratitude. Tithing, giving back 10% of your income to God, it's a huge step of faith if you've never done it. I've heard it described this way. It's like first you leap, then you grow wings. Think on that for a while. What you do is you trust God will provide what you need. You acknowledge that 90% of your income will be enough. In fact, I really believe that 90% goes further than 100% in God's economy. That's how it's worked in our life. God has always taken care of us as we've tithed. Strategic generosity, back to like big picture. Strategic generosity, given by a percentage. Folks, it can start with any amount. It can be 3%, 5%, 10%, or it can be a lot more. What it looks like in the New Testament is that the people of the New Testament were generous well beyond their tithing. They saw tithing more like training wheels for a bicycle. But it really just doesn't matter when you're trying to learn to be generous. You're trying to enlarge that strategic impulse in you. Just start with a percentage. I recommend 10%, but again, that's a recommendation. It's not an obligation because it helps you become a more generous person. Giving strategically as a percentage always, no matter what's going on, it builds your faith in God's ability to care for you. It teaches you to be satisfied with less stuff. And probably most importantly, it helps you see God's purposes through new eyes, the new eyes of his kingdom work, and how that's accomplished through your generosity. It is a rich existence to know that you are using what you have to support God's work in building the kingdom of God. Once you realize you can do just fine without 10% of your income, and trust me, you will. You'll see through strategic generosity that you can become generous to other causes as well. You'll see more things, you'll desire more things, both sacred and secular. Your generous impulse to make a difference in you will only grow stronger. One more word about tithing. The Old Testament's last word on tithing came in its final book, Malachi. Now remember now, as I read this, Jesus fulfilled the law. This is a principle, not a command. Okay? Malachi 3:10. The people of Israel had been rescued from captivity once again by God. They had brought them back to the land of Israel, and they were just beginning to coast again and not loving him, not taking care of the temple or anything like this. And he was saying, hey, wake up. Malachi 3:10, the prophet Malachi said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. He was referring to the temple at the time. That there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, the blessing, I believe, this is not a return on your money. This is not ROI, okay? This is blessing that comes from investing in the kingdom of God, because we're looking at a principle now, not the legalistic obligation to fund temple worship. I want this blessing for you. I believe that this blessing comes in a richness of life, a richness of knowing you're helping build God's kingdom. I want you to experience how God can work through your generosity. I want it so much for you that I will make this challenge. And I've made this challenge every time I've ever talked about tithing or giving strategically like this, okay? If you don't trust me, some of you are new and you're going, oh man, I knew it. That's all churches want. They just want our money. If you don't trust me or this church, test God's promise by tithing somewhere else. Tithe to some other church or some other gospel ministry. Just test God, okay? Because I want you to receive that blessing. I know God will take care of us, but I want you to experience that. And if you don't trust me, you don't trust our church, then tithe somewhere else. Now, please don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? Everybody listen up. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. I have never said we don't need your offerings, although some people have heard me say that. They thought I said that. No, Greg said give somewhere else. We don't need it anymore. I never said that, okay? We obviously do, but we've had some regular givers, good people. Some of the finest people in our church have misunderstood me, and they just started giving somewhere else, and giving to the church dropped off. Listen, if you're already giving here, please continue, okay? Thank you, please. But if you don't know me, and you don't know our church's culture of high integrity and generosity, if we have not yet earned your trust and you're just kind of hearing this in a void and you don't know anything about us and you don't have any reason to believe that I'm sincere on this, give somewhere else so that God can strengthen the generous impulse in you. Try trusting God. It's a principle, not a command. Don't do it out of obligation. But trust God. Here's why. Here's why we do what we do. Here's why this, we collect offerings as an act of worship to God. That's as much an act of worship as singing is. But here's why. Let me tell you a story. In 1793, William Carey sparked the modern missions movement when he left England to go and become a missionary in India. That was kind of mind-blowing. Nobody did that then. The idea of missions and spreading the gospel around the world had just died out in the church. And William Carey became convicted that there were people in India that did not know Jesus Christ. And so he left there. As he was leaving, as he was preparing and building up support for him, he envisioned his venture as entering into a deep and dark gold mine. And Carey said that he would descend into that mine, but his fellow Christ followers back in England must hold the ropes. In other words, they must support him financially while he goes to share the good news of Jesus Christ in India. I want our church to be the kind of church that holds the ropes for our partners locally and globally. I want us to be known as a generous church that gives and doesn't take. It's not putting its hand out for stuff, but always giving, trying to help people, and especially help people know about Jesus Christ. And as long as God calls church planters and missionaries to go out from our fellowship, I want us to be able to say yes. I pray that you get some opportunity this week for spontaneous giving. I pray that it touches your heart to try out this strategic giving this week. And I pray that our church will always be the kind of church that holds the ropes for those who go and are ready to say yes whenever someone says, I'm next. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the people you called out of our church that we are helping hold the ropes for. Greg and Savannah in the Amazon. Kevin and Lauren in Southeast Asia. Allie in Uganda. Stephen and Jessica in Seattle. Daniel and Stephanie at the Mountain Church. Joseph and Emily. At Leo in Southeast Asia. And so many more, so many students who go on mission trips and other students who give a year or two. God, open our hearts. Make our hearts generous. And Father, let us be a church that sends more and more people, holds a rope for them. And God, help us especially as we are sent today back into our different communities around Southern Missouri County. Help us to share your good news, either through word or generosity, maybe both. We trust you, Father. Help us to trust you more. I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.